from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Once again, broadcasting live from the Comcast Business Tent, powering possibilities. Another beautiful day in St. Joe. Big crowd at season ticket member appreciation day. And the tent in front of us is packed. This is the busiest right around us it's been, I would say. We haven't had this many people in front of us, I think, the entire camp. So it's a beautiful day. That's where it's setting up, man. Another padded practice. And we'll see how long today's practice goes. When it is over, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, also rookie offensive lineman Hunter Norzad's going to join us. Get to know him.
He's a smart one.
Very
engineering
smart.
Major.
Very,
Lego guy,
very
I
smart.
Told.
Well, yeah, I'm sure, yeah, a very smart individual that perhaps long term is kind of the Allegretti replacement.
Always happy to tell people that I've already gathered a new Coding Gold Garage Sale item as well.
Yeah.
As we were walking in today, they handed me a towel for season ticket members. I am not one.
You just grabbed one anyway.
And they put it in my face. Am I supposed to be like, no, thank you,
No, you
sir.
Definitely take the towel.
So I took the season ticket member towel for 24, so you can forever own that in next year's Coding Gold Garage Sale.
Or if you're just a big Sky Moore fan, because it's a mini towel shaped like a jersey that has the number 24 on it, which you can pretend it's for the year 2024, or if Sky Moore does good things and actually makes the team, which I'm skeptical on, then you can just claim you're a big Sky Moore fan.
Well, the recent depth chart, which we will get to, would not suggest he's doing great things, but better things than Kadarius Toney based on that math. Because his recent depth chart, and I'm sure some of that, and Andy would normally say this, some of that is because he's not actively on the field. He is missing practice again today. So is Chris Jones, and he'll be listed as number one. Slightly different resume, I would say, between the two. And so, yeah, Andy will probably explain it away to injury, but yeah, we'll get to the depth chart in a minute. Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, not exactly high on it.
Thinking of injuries and all that, once again, I think we should just expect it at this point in time, but Chris Jones not practicing. He is here just hanging out a little bit, shoulder stinger. He's practiced enough, I think, is where we're at. I think we're at the point where it's like, he's practiced enough, didn't really want to do the whole training camp thing, and even if the shoulder hurts just a slight bit, no reason to do it. So I don't know if we're going to see a single practice. Maybe Monday, maybe. Other than that, I think we're about done from seeing any more practices from Chris Jones.
Don't you remember? He did an interview in the offseason. We played it on this show. He did an interview where he said, I'm trying to talk Andy into letting me not practice as much during training camp.
True.
He just had to get the old shoulder stinger and then be like, guys, remember what it was like when I wasn't around last week? Last year, week one? Let's just make sure I'm 110%. Just want to make sure I'm feeling my best, boss. And then just go on about your business. I'm pretty sure that that's what's happening. I am not worried about Chris Jones's injury.
No.
At all. No. Not even a little. But Tony's, that's real. Justin Reed's is real. Some of the people that, not that Chris Jones is, but, you know, are actual concern to me, as in, will they be ready? Will they matter? How long will they linger for? Because we went through that last year. We probably didn't give enough proper credit for how long an injury can linger for, Gold, and how long it will bother you as a result of that. Because Travis Kelce's injury, I think, bothered him for at least a month, maybe two. Like, it was lingering for some time.
It was the injury, and then it was just the frustration with the offense, and they weren't having fun out there, and it took that week 18 off to have Travis Kelce back at that very high level, playing like a Hall of Fame tight end. But at this point, they're still much healthier today than they were a week or two ago. You know, they get, as we said, Jalen Watson once again out here today practicing. Derek Nottis once again out here practicing. Kelvin Joseph is the only individual that's not practicing that is a new non-practice
sure.
player, if that makes sense, at this point. And he's been hurt off and on throughout training camp. But I think that the key thing now, if we're looking at camp battles and it's not, you know, there's not a ton going on, frankly, in that aspect, is still the number two corner. And now that you have a healthy Nazi Johnson and a healthy Jalen Watson and a healthy, you know, Joshua Williams all out there with the ones rotating in. Now I think you're going to, you know, who's going to distance themselves now that you're not dealing with any issues to the depth simply because of the injuries.
So we can talk more about those camp observations and others coming up here. You were trying to see if Gruden was here for a fourth straight practice.
Yeah.
I couldn't see him yet. So I don't want to say whether or
I gotta
not I've seen
Andy
him yet or not.
And then usually that's where Gruden's been. But
usually. We'll keep an eye on it. If we see him for a fourth straight practice, I'm sure we'll mention that once again. But let's talk about the Royals game last night as they dropped the second game against Boston. And I don't want to oversimplify, but boy, am I starting to feel like that is a bad matchup for the Royals. The sloppiest baseball, and not even sloppiest, just the most, they're like, are you outmatched baseball they played all year were the Yankees series and the Red Sox series, where I'm like, you seem like you're the worst team, and I want to know why. Because against Boston, it's just they're running the bases better than you. They're playing better defense than you. Their starting pitching is outperforming yours. Their bullpen's out, like, it seems like it's every facet of the game they're getting you. And I understand the Royals clawed back and once again fought to be close in that game last night. But to get it back to 3-3 and then the instant gut punch of your starting pitching, the key of your entire winning season, coughing up the lead immediately in the next inning with Seth Lugo, that's incredibly frustrating. That's supposed to be, once you got it to 3-3, I was starting to feel like, cool, wins in the bag. Maybe not that strong, but it felt like that's when I'm like, all right, now it's starter versus starter, and they got their guy back even, so we're cool. No, I mean, that game was frustrating again.
The series to this point in time, though, you can kind of summarize it that, hey, the biggest strength of this team, we know, is starting pitching. And Seth Lugo and Brady Singer, while, yes, they battled, they haven't pitched at the same level in this series as they have across their entire work of the season. And so so the Boston Red Sox have gotten, last night not quite as much, but certainly two nights ago, better starting pitching and, I guess, pitching overall than the Royals. And when you're strength and you're relying on solid defense, solid base running, really good starting pitching, and when one of those isn't there, or in some cases both aren't there for a given game, you're going to have a series like the Royals are currently having, which is in danger of being swept, in danger of
losing
the wild card spot. I know you don't, you know, as it stands now, they're only a half game up on Boston. So winning today not only kind of calms things down,
gives you a little more breathing room,
but it gives you that. Unfortunately, in the division, and you know, the Twins lost again. The Guardians have lost three in a row. But the team you're playing head to head, the reason why this was such a big series is the team that was right behind you in the wild card, and now they're only a half game back. And
what's
so
funny, though, is
that's the concern.
Yeah, you haven't really lost ground, though. You're 5.5 back. You were 5 back before this series started. The Guardians just played an extra.
Well, you didn't lose ground in the division. You've lost ground on the wild card, which is to me where really the attention needs to be.
Sure, but you know, like, the Twins are another wild card team. You were half game back. You're now game and a half back. You haven't. I don't think you've functionally really changed where you stand in these things. Just as long as you win tonight, you lose tonight, and then the Guardians and the Twins go ahead and win, and you know the Red Sox then beat you. You're out of the playoff spot. You're 2.5 back games of the Twins. You're 6.5 back of the Guardians in the division, and it seems like that footing you had refound for a little bit is starting to slip again, and that's what you're trying to avoid. Losing series happens, and I honestly, I'm not trying to oversimplify it. I think Boston might be the worst matchup in the entire league for them. I don't know what it is. Every time I watch them play Boston, it looks unequal. And I don't think the Royals are I think the Royals are just as good of a team as Boston. I think they're just as good of a team as the Twins. I think there's a lot of teams that they are on equal footing with. Boston doesn't make them look that way, and I think that's what's been really frustrating.
Well, it's problematic. It's a fair question to anybody that's a Royals fan to say, all right, we know what they are against below 500 teams. We know what they are against the White Sox, for example, and dominating them. But against what we perceive to be playoff teams, they're, what, six, seven, eight games under 500 against
current
the, yeah, perceive your current playoff teams. So, I mean, it's a fair question to ask, hey, is, you know, are they good enough to be? I think, though, when we're now already, it's August 7th, and if you look at and break down, unless you're a team that's pacing to win 100-plus games, anybody that's going to be in that, let's call it 86 to 90 range, which is potentially where the Royals are going to be, your record, yeah, you probably are beating up on the teams you should beat up on, and you're probably going to have a mixed bag
against
playoff teams. Now, would you like them to be a little bit closer to 500? And by the way, they're going to have to be. If they're going to make the playoffs, they are going to have to be closer to 500 probably against those teams. But overall, when you play,
anyway.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like when you play 162 games, like you're not going to be dominant against the bad teams. And just dominate against all the – otherwise you think they're a 115-win team or something like that, 110-win team. I mean, this is not that crazy from where wild card teams are and how the breakdown is game to game. But it is a fair question and to
be
concerned because they have been outmatched in this series and their strengths have not shown up in this series in any time they have played Boston, unfortunately, this particular season. So same thing applies tonight, though. You got Cole Reagans on the mound. Does he not have his best stuff the way Seth Lugo hasn't had his best stuff the way Brady Singer? Or does Cole Reagans go out there and show you why he was your opening day starter again, why he was an all-star? Does he keep the performance up, show why he's top five in strikeouts, I think it is now, in Major League Baseball? That's what you need tonight to avoid the sweep of a Boston Red Sox team.
This is too few of games to qualify as this yet gold. But the two other times this season that I can remember where I was, like, frustrated with the Royals, I'm like, is, you know, like, especially early where you're like, is it about to turn into a pumpkin, right? Is the clock about to strike midnight? Have we seen the end of the winning ways? Are they going to get back in a playoff spot, back in the division? The other two times it went exactly like this. They went through a bad stretch of starting pitching. I mean, it boils down so simply. For when the Royals are playing really well and when they're not gold, and it is, if these three pitchers, Singer, Lugo, and Reagans, are pitching to their normal standard, or are they not? The last two nights, Singer and Lugo are not. Tonight, will Reagans? Fingers crossed, right? Because if he does, then they'll win the baseball game. It's not overly complicated sometimes when they're going through stretches where people begin to get frustrated with them. If I still play it out, though, and I tell you what they've been over the last 20 games, they're a very winning baseball team. Two games in a row, two losses in a row, is not going to send me over the edge after they just won a very important series against 3-4. Now, three in a row against Boston, which would make 4 out of 5 losses, maybe. Then you start saying, like, okay, where are the problems? How do you get the pitching staff? Or, for once, this is crazy, too, because I know that I count the pitching. Every once in a while, I would like them to just slug out a win. Last night was a good example of, like, you could have maybe done that. You know, Massey hits the homer. You're hitting the ball pretty hard in the early going. Every once in a while, I'd like to see you win one, and I don't know that we've seen this one, but
that's
once
just
or
not
twice
who they
year.
Really are.
I'd
man.
Like, but I know. But every once in a while, you should be able to win a game 12-10.
I know that's just not there. That being the formula to win, we know what it is. It's really solid.
Anyway.
You know, yeah. Of course, I'm not saying they've never been able to score 12 runs. Obviously, they have. But like the formula
they got more
is
games than they score that. They just usually also get starting pitching. They win those games 12-4.
Right. You know, it has to be great defense. It has to be not giving up outs on the base pass, and it usually has to involve really good starting pitching and or Bobby Wood Jr., Salvi, and, you know, Vinny, two of the three, if not, you
they
know.
Have six RBI between the three of them.
That's usually the formula. It sounds so simple, but that's usually what they have to do. Remember, heading into the series, we said the Royals, as great as they are at home, Boston is equally as good on the road. So this is not surprising if you're, you know, the Boston Red Sox. They expect to win on the road. They've won on the road. They've been really one of the better road teams in all of baseball. I think is the biggest consequence of this series, and Vinny Pasquantino was asked about it in the clubhouse yesterday. He acknowledged it. I think he brought it up on his own, actually. It's just that the Red Sox now have the tiebreaker. If, in fact, we get to game 162 and it's over, and the Royals are tied for the third wild card, the Red Sox get the tiebreaker because they have won the season series now, no matter what happens today. That is the biggest consequence of what has transpired
but
the last two nights.
Let's say they finish with 89 wins, and if you win today, you finish with 90. You can
still... I'm not saying they're guaranteed a tie, but if they do tie...
But if I'm Vinny and I'm the guys in there, you'd be like, well, then let's make sure we get this one. Because if it does come down to we are one game apart in the standings, we better damn sure make sure that it's not we're at 89 and they're at 90, or we're at 88 and they're at 89. And we're going to look back on this evening game on Wednesday, August 7th, and say, damn it, if Cole Reagans had just had it that one day, we're good to go. Or if they could have gotten one more run last night.
Yeah.
There's a salvageability in this series where I feel exactly the way I did coming into it. Win tonight. Cole Reagans looks good, and I'm like, all right, you know what? A couple of bad starts out of Lugo and Singer, so what? You won two out of three. You got the series against Detroit. Let's move on to Friday. They're off on Thursday or no?
It's a weird schedule this week. They're off on Sunday. They're off on Thursday and Sunday. They play Friday and Saturday. Yeah, they play Friday and Saturday against the Cardinals, but they're off Thursday and Sunday. I know.
That's just weird.
I know. It's a bizarre schedule this week.
Being on Sunday confuses me.
Yeah.
Baseball has always been on every Sunday in perpetuity. I know it's the new baseball scheduling and the way they
move. It's the unbalanced schedule.
This is their second Sunday off this year. It just throws me off, man. I just don't know. I don't know what to think about it. The process confuses me.
Over on the Jays Southland Social Service text line, 913-586-7610, someone from the 620 says, guys, look, they've lost six of their last seven at home. Only reason they're still where they are is because they played the White Sox and Tigers.
But they also won 6-7 on the road.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say as well. Like, it balances out, right? Like, they've been good at home. They're not good at home right this second, but they also were way better on the road than they had been. So, you know, that I just, you know, sometimes it's like, it is baseball. Like, this stuff happens.
There's some inconsistencies in 162 games.
Thank goodness they had the road trip they had. Yeah. I'm with you there. Thank goodness, because of the way they're currently playing at home. But it does, to a certain extent, we have to be honest, like, it balances out. And overall, what are they, 16 of their last 24 they've won? So if we're going to bring up stretches, this is what's great about it. We could all come up with six games or 12 to make stats look good
or
bad.
I can find 27, 16, 42, like, we understand baseball's manipulative in that way, but they have been doing a lot more winning than losing lately. So I'm not going to send into an over-panic. Why Not over on Twitch says, hey, Isbell had a rough defensive night yesterday. He's actually had a rough defensive night two nights. He's made weird...
But that's part of the formula, man.
He's made weird throws two nights in a row.
But that's where they screwed up here, because that part of the formula is great defense. We know that.
And Boston's been playing really good defense in this series, so that hasn't helped. Except for that one play in right field. They've played really good defense in this series. That's why Boston's been annoying. They're just an annoyance to me. Because they seem to be playing the Royals game better than them right now. And I don't know if it's just catching them in the wrong time every time, or if it's just straight up a bad matchup.
They look like the better team. Let's just call it like it is. They look like the better team. And you hope that themselves in the AL East, and that mix, that they're going to get beat up by the Orioles or the Yankees to try to keep them down. Because, yeah, you're right. Now they have to finish ahead of Boston now, based off of the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
That's the reality of the situation.
They can't tie.
Hopefully it doesn't come down to tiebreakers anyway.
Oh, God, that'd be a sweat. They're both at, like, 83 wins with four games to play.
That would just be a disgusting way for the after what has been an unbelievable year, if you tell me that they missed out on a tiebreaker because of a head-to-head series tiebreaker.
Because there's six games in a 162-game schedule. Yeah, it'd make me kind of sick. It would. Because anything can happen in a six-game stretch in 162, it'd bother the hell out of me. There's no doubt.
Our training camp coverage here in St. Joe, presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. We know we had Trent McDuffie on the show a couple days ago. We're going to have Hunter Norzad on the show in the 11 o'clock hour. We think practice should wrap up around 11, but as you guys know, that sometimes fluctuates a little bit. So besides Trent McDuffie, who could help the turnover problem, if you will? We know this team defensively, like, they were one of the best defenses, if not the best in football, but it's been pointed out by Karloftis, it's been pointed out by Drew Tranquil, who was on with us yesterday, that what are they working on? And they all mention at least one of the three things is being more opportunistic. I think every team wants to be more opportunistic with turning the ball over, and the quicker fix we think is, hey, well, Trent McDuffie, as great as he is, the one thing he doesn't have is an interception.
Turnovers.
But our team's not going to throw his direction. He does force fumbles. Who else could actually add to this?
I think the who else is important, because I think it's going to be unfair of us, Gold, and of Chiefs fans to just be like, okay, turnovers were a problem. Fix it, Trent McDuffie, all by yourself. Because it feels like it's heading that way, because he's talked about winning the interceptions. Spags has talked about him winning the interceptions. Everybody knows he doesn't have one. So it's starting to feel like the singular focus of fix our problem, taking the ball away, is firmly on Trent McDuffie and only Trent McDuffie's shoulders. I think the answer is Shamari Connor. Part of the reason, I'll admit, is because he put that on himself. He spoke at the podium a couple days ago, and he said, I'm going to take the ball away. My job is to get the ball. So he himself has put some of that responsibility on him. But I think in times past when the Royals have, or the Royals, the Chiefs, have been, I can't believe I'd accidentally say that in August. Oh,
what That's what happens when we're talking a lot of Royals.
Exactly. The Chiefs' history of when they're good at taking the ball away, it's usually that guy. It's the, oops, he's playing inside, oops, he's playing outside, oh, he's kind of a linebacker, oh, he's here, because he's a little less predictable. They challenge that player a little bit more. They're put in different spots against different levels of talent, wide receiver, tight end, fullback, running back. And I think if Shamari Connor is going to be that all-around guy, there's successful seasons in that. I think I'd like him second most to put some pressure on. I know it's first and foremost on McDuffie to pick up a couple of these, but I think Connor's the guy I'm counting on to add to this number.
I could see it. I mean, I could see it. His increased role, he was, you know, nickel corner, but maybe you see more of a role for him this year, especially if they move him around with some of the safety depth, depending on where Justin Reed is at. I think the linebacking core, though, whether it's fumbles or otherwise, one of the big things when you've brought up Willie Gay in the past is the lack of ability to cover. Nick Bolton at times, that whole linebacking crew, as great as they've been, but there's an issue in coverage at times. Drew Tranquil, I think, has a chance and already showed a little bit. He can be a great coverage linebacker for this team. And with that, there's some opportunities perhaps to get some interceptions. You know, I know they're all working on it, but I don't know if you noticed yesterday at practice before we had Tranquil on the show.
Yeah.
He was working separately with an assistant coach or a position coach or whatever on, like, basically, like, frame, you know, setting up for interceptions. Like, they all use the tennis ball thing. But, like, that was something. I'm sure every single linebacker does that. But my point is that – is somebody I could see all of a sudden we wake up
sure.
and it's November and he actually has a couple interceptions.
Yeah, I wouldn't put Tranquil out of the mix. He obviously is going to play more, and he seems like the kind of guy who's just around the ball all the time, Gold, so that doesn't seem out of the question. I think it's hard for me because the other obvious answer would be anybody in the cornerback two role. Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, Joseph, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're having to fight too much for their life just to be the number two. To establish themselves. I don't want to also put on the additional pressure of, hey, mine being the guy who gets the ball. But Jalen Watson does seem to have a nose for it a little bit.
We all have that image like of that Chargers game.
He's got a couple of those. Remember he had a postseason? Like, he does seem to have a little bit. I think it's because teams actually challenge him. I think it's because Jalen Watson gives a little cushion, and they challenge him, and every once in a while they don't make the throw as well, or Jalen Watson gets a good break. They don't do that with Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie's going to have to do it in a tighter window against better talent, against number one wide receivers. They like to throw the ball at Watson a little bit. I think the first year he was a rookie, you might remember, he was one of the most thrown at corners in the entire NFL there for a stretch. He's getting 11, 12 targets a game. So maybe him, but I just think I'd rather put it on players that I know have their role secured. Connor has his role secured. Trip McDuffie has his role secured. So that certainly changes why I would feel about that a little bit.
Are we even sure, though, and I don't know if this is nitpicking at all, but are we sure that it's an actual, I don't think it's a problem until the defense isn't able to just lock you down. Like, if it's a bend but don't break defense, then you need the turnovers to stay out of the red zone. But they weren't even allowing other teams to get into the red zone, even though they weren't creating turnovers, it obviously wasn't a problem.
But I would say that last year, you're right. I would say the history of the NFL would suggest that is not a good strategy.
Yeah.
What if we're just constantly bend, don't break? Hell, Drew, I watched a lot of playoff teams under Alex Smith, or you want to go even further, but Joe Montana, that had some, like, bend, don't break defenses that if they could have just maybe stopped breaking so many times, maybe the teams would have gone on and accomplished better things.
Sorry, I was standing up for those of you that were watching the video stream. My bad for that view you got, but I was trying to.
I didn't see exactly how zoomed in on your.
They were all on a knee, so clearly somebody was hurt. I was trying to find out. It was Wanya Morris. Wanya Morris shaking up on a play here. Walked off on his own, but it was some sort of knee they were taking a look at. So that's why I knew something was up because all the players all of a sudden took a knee. So I was like, uh-oh. And then I saw Travis and Patrick over there, and so it was Wanya, though, that actually was shaken up.
Seems like practice has maybe come to a slowdown here for just a minute as a result of that. Yeah. But now they're running some reps. But, yeah, that's – we've talked about this before. Even though I think Kingsley Suamataie is definitively the starter, and I thought that 2 weeks ago, Wanya is an incredibly important depth piece. he matters a lot in that regard. And your confidence in tackle. So if for some reason this is a serious injury, because Wanya Morris,
yeah, he walked, walked off on his own. So yeah, so, I don't, you know.
But if for some reason it ended up being serious, then you'd have to re-entertain the calling of tackles who might be on the free agency market, or trying to decide who in tier, who in your own system could handle those goals, because it's asking a lot for Kingsley Suamataia and Juwan Taylor to be healthy for 17 games. It's asking a lot of any player all the time. So
we'll let you know if we get an update. Right now he's still standing on the sideline just talking to some members of the training staff, but it doesn't look like there's, you know, serious concern at this point
in
time.
Hopefully just and he is still talking to them and kind of walking, milling around a little bit, so we'll see.
Reminder, we're going to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes after practice today, which could come around 11 o'clock, into the 11 o'clock hour, and Hunter Norzad going to join us.
Some legend over on Twitch said that you were trying to do your best pole vaulter impersonation for the crowd.
Oh, geez.
Just putting it right in front of the camera, you know? Just front and center, Gold.
Jeez.
Sorry about that, boys. Sorry
about
that.
This is the risk of, you know, live streaming the
show. We have the camera, and then when I stand up, unfortunately, the angle you get, didn't you guys want me to find out what was going on a little bit? You know, you were talking. I needed to see what was happening, and my apologies. I didn't hit the camera or anything, you know?
No. That would have been, you leaned too far forward.
Everybody just turned around, and I think they were kicking field goals, if you're wondering why. Everybody just turned around and stared at you. It's because Butker kicked a field goal and it went over the tent. They didn't think your joke was funny. That's not what it was.
I didn't think that. I just thought maybe they heard it.
That's not what it is.
It wasn't even my joke. I was sharing somebody else's.
All right, guys. Coming up next, we'll continue broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp. One thing was released yesterday, and it could mean that the Chiefs are bringing back something. Plus, a weird circumstance happened to me last night at my apartment complex, and I'm still confused to this minute. I'll explain to you guys next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you, and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here in St. Joe, Cody and Gold broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Practice final one before they head down to Jacksonville. Still going on in an hour here, and perhaps practice could end up going a little bit longer than what we had anticipated. So it could go into the 11 o'clock hour, but we'll let you know on that when we'll have Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Also, Sean Barber, former Chiefs linebacker. I saw him He is going to stop by around 11 o'clock or so, depending on timing. So I haven't had Sean on the show. We'll get his perspective. We'll ask him about the linebackers,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And does he agree that that could be an area where we could see some increased interceptions, for example? But before we get to the depth chart that came out, and normally we don't talk much about the depth chart, but there were a few things where we're like,
okay. A couple of interesting things.
Interesting. I have to run something by both you and Drew and the text line, 913-586-7610, because I'm truly, like, not truly confused still.
So you're trying to decide.
So last night, it's, I don't know, 8:45.
Okay.
Someone knocks on my door, which, I'll be honest, like, a handful of times anybody ever knock on my apartment door. It's just not,
okay.
You know, I know who's coming to my apartment. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So, okay. Knocks, and so I kind of look through, and I'm like, okay, I don't, you know, some lady, I'm like, I kind of recognize her. Like, I know she lives across the street a little bit, but, like, I never really talked to her. So I open the door, and she goes, did you hear that? I go, hear what? You know, I'm thinking, like, car crash, you know, the transformer blow.
Yeah.
Like, then hear it. She goes, that noise. I go, what? She goes, all the cicadas. There's, like, millions of them. I've never heard it. And I go, oh, yeah. Yeah, I hear that. I go, yeah, it's summertime in Kansas. She's like, yeah, it's just amazing. And she then turns around and just slowly walks away. And I go, well, have a good night. And that was it.
Okay. She's on drugs.
Then she's
no other explanation.
Then she stood in the middle of the, not cul-de-sac, it's an apartment complex, but what would be the equivalent of a cul-de-sac, like towards the end. And she just stood there.
Soaking it all in?
And I'm like, I almost went back to check on her because I'm like, is she having a medical emergency? And then I thought what you thought initially, which is like, did she just get very high and is experiencing everything that world has to offer?
She thought that it was a 10-milligram gummy and it was more. Dude, I mean, it's got to be.
She's probably a 50-year-old woman, okay?
She got high.
She knocked on my door to tell me that there was a loud noise.
She made a mistake and had some wine with her Vicodin. I don't know, but she, you know, she was
on drugs. Cicadas. Was it loud? Yes, but it's cicada loud, you know? She's knocking. I mean, can you imagine knocking on a neighbor's door that you've never talked to before to tell them how loud it is outside, and it turns out it was just from cicadas?
No. That is an insane thing to do. Now, that's not a normal thing. If you're asking, is that a normal thing to do? The answer is absolutely not. And that's just like, I would never, and maybe this is just, I would never knock on someone's door
right
at 8:45 at night for almost anything. It would have to be a very concerning sound, like a comet just hit next door. Yeah. I don't think I would just be knocking on the door.
Sean Barber's already here. If he wants to come around and put on a headset, we can ask him about this scenario, too, if you want. If you want to come around, Barber. He's also got someone we're going to talk to that he's got for Drew that we got to discuss, too. But let's get Barber in on this, too. The text line says she's appreciating nature. Look, I'm all
no
for
way.
That. That's great. This was more than that.
No.
You knocked on someone's door that you've never talked to be like, hey, did you hear the noise? And then it was, I'm like, yeah, it was just the cicadas. And then you just kind of stood there and walked away. Sean, you kind of heard the story there. Do you think that was weird? Would you just knock on a neighbor's door and be like, did you hear the sounds of nature tonight?
Well, hello. How's everybody doing today?
Good to see you.
As you all know, I am a P1, so I do listen to the radio station pretty religiously throughout the day. So, yes, on the way up to training camp, I was listening to your fairy tale of some neighbor knocking on your door.
Fairy tale.
At some random. I mean, I think you were dreaming the whole time.
No,
maybe you were high. It was the other way around. It was him.
Yeah.
He was imagining
maybe
stuff.
Gold was on some of the devil's lettuce. And,
I mean, I was worried.
He's
for
in Missouri, you know. We were at camp yesterday.
I saw Barber last night. He can attest, as of 7 o'clock last night, I was
you were sober. Yes,
I
you
was
were.
Sober. So I don't think it was me. But, yeah, I was honestly concerned she was – first I thought drugs, but then I'm like, maybe she's actually having, like, a medical emergency here.
Oh,
she
Lord.
Don't know where she's at.
I mean, like, go. Just live your life the right way. Just, I mean, if somebody's in need, you help them out. If not, just count it as, like, you know what?
I'm going to stay out of
thumbs
this.
Thumbs up.
Stay out of other people's business.
She was standing out there after she knocked on my door for, I don't know, at least 10 minutes, and then somebody else walked by, and they were having a convo. So, I don't know.
So
you
she
know.
Got into them with the cicadas as well.
So, and that she was still out there for
10 minutes?
Half hour. No, she was out there for 10 minutes before another lady walked by, and they struck up a conversation.
She's
gone. Yeah.
Mind your business. How about that?
She knocked on my door.
It was the wrong door.
No. Wait, you think she was playing off? She knocked on the wrong door
wrong
and tried
door.
To make it be become about cicadas?
Wrong door, bro. Like,
how close are you with your neighbors, Barber?
I'm very close with my neighbors. I have a very closely knit cul-de-sac. Let me say that. Maybe not the entire neighborhood.
Our cul-de-sac's not close.
Oh my goodness, no. My cul-de-sac is like we got each other's back.
We don't have each other's back.
If I come home in the middle of the day for lunch, I'll bring everybody's trash cans up to their garage.
Oh, wow. You're too nice.
Empty trash cans, I'll bring them up to their garage. I mean, if I'm out of town.
Nice. What a guy.
Instead, I got a letter in my mailbox that said, hey, trim your tree. We got kids.
Well, you gotta hold your own.
I take care of my house.
Are you like the HOA president, Barbara?
No.
Okay.
I'm just a member. Uh-huh. I'm just a member of a nice cul-de-sac of neighbors. We all got each other's back. We look out for each other. If there's any unfamiliar cars, we'll send a little memo around. Say, hey, do you recognize that car? You got somebody in town visiting, whatever.
Uh-huh.
We don't want anybody
little
like
neighborhood watch. Not trying to interrupt your flow.
Not the entire neighborhood. Just right. My cul-de-sac.
All right, that's good to
just
know.
My cul-de-sac.
It feels appropriate to start. If we're going to talk some Chiefs talk with you, it feels appropriate to talk about linebacker first.
Well, let's go.
I think what Alex and I have discussed a lot with this crew is I like the initial starting unit better. I like the Tranquil's going to play more. Obviously, Bolden's a tackling machine. I am worried, however, about depth. I don't think that they possess the same depth they did last year, unless you're a big Jack Cochran guy or you think they can make it up. I thought last year's overall unit could sustain an injury, could cover for Nick Bolden being gone for a while. I don't think they could do that same thing this year.
Well, didn't Willie Gay miss a few games?
He did.
Due to suspension, and then Bolden missed a few games with injury. So I think Cochran actually got some really quality reps in the middle of the season. Obviously, Tranquil, that was his first season last year, so there's going to be a big jump, and I think the leadership and the accountability of what he's accustomed to doing and what his responsibilities are game to game, week to week. So I think we're going to see a big growth, a big jump in his production. Very productive player last year, but I would love to see him just become like almost like an ultimate weapon in Spags' defense. I mean, that will position – when you play the Willie linebacker position in the normal downs, you move to Mike in the sub package. I have a little bit of history on knowing what that position looks
yeah,
like.
Yes, I think so.
That's what I did both years in Philadelphia. Similar defense, similar responsibilities, a lot of the concepts carry over. But it's a position for playmakers.
Is it reasonable to ask Drew Tranquil to be more part of the turnover part? They keep talking about how much they need to take the ball away.
Bro, what is up with y'all in this turnovers thing? I heard y'all the whole
time. The players brought it up to us, too.
They said, make it a focus.
We asked them, hey, you were the number one defense. How do you build on that? And Tranquil and Karloftis all said, Spags has mentioned three things, yada, 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 and turnovers was one of them. So we've keyed in on that.
Oh, okay.
That's what the coaches are telling us.
Anything you follow with yada, yada, yada makes me kind of feel like. I mean, y'all have a whole segment called, like, cliches and then coaches.
That's the morning show. That's different.
Coaches talk.
That's not us. That's the morning show.
I mean, it's all the same thing.
That's the morning show.
That's why you don't have the cul-de-sac mentality. So you don't protect.
He grew up in a cul-de-sac.
So he doesn't protect the morning show. He's like, oh, that's the morning show.
Well,
that's,
no, but like you were naming their
bits.
You were naming their bits.
Oh, who cares? Like again, I'm a P1. It doesn't. I don't create no separation.
He's saying 6'10" the brand.
It's 6'10" the brand, bro. Uh-huh. It's all a brotherhood. It's
I
all
can't keep up with every other show's benchmarks.
Okay, well, at the end of the day, there are things that coaches just say. There's things that sounds great. They chum the water. They feed the media. Like, these are things that we know that y'all are going to, like, latch on to or hang with.
This came from a player, though.
Okay, who cares? Players are just extension of coaches. They sit in the meeting room. They listen to the coaches. Then they come and tell y'all the same things they hear. Come on. How can a defense get better?
Yeah.
Sharpen up your tackling.
They were not great.
Sharpen, like less missed tackles, less mental errors, less blown coverages. Like those are the three areas that every team in every level of football can create some significant movement on how effective you are getting off the field by doing those things. If you look at turnovers, I have no idea how many turnovers we had last year. How many total turnovers?
They were like 26th in the league, but
with 40 something.
But five of the other top six defenses were at the top of the league.
Okay, you so know, like what number are we talking about?
The number difference. Yeah.
No, are we talking about like in the 40s, like everybody, like around 40?
Well, I don't think they had 40. I think they were more like in the mid-20s.
20s. Last year. Every team is going to have 50 opportunities to turn over the ball. Interception gets dropped. Instead of stripping the quarterback, you hit his arm and it doesn't come out. You do strip it and they get back on it. So the amount of opportunities you have to turn the ball over in a normal season, let's say it's going to be 50. how many of those do you capitalize on? So it's not about doing anything different to create those opportunities. The opportunities are going to come. You just want to make sure that you're actually hustling to the ball. You're exploding to the ball. When the ball is thrown down the field, the D-line turns around and runs to the ball. Everybody on the field is exploding to the ball, so when it comes out, you're there to pick it up. That's the area that you can make improvements on without even doing anything schematically different.
We're talking to former Chiefs linebacker Sean Barber here at Chiefs training camp. So tell me, as you've been watching, specifically I'm sure on the defensive side, has anybody stood out to you? Like, other than the obvious guys that we all know? Is there anybody you're like, well, maybe even surprised by? Anybody you're like, well, okay, this is a guy to watch.
Do you really want to know this?
I do.
I do.
Okay. So let's start.
I mean, don't give me the BS answer.
I think it's Leo Chanel.
Give me the real answer here, Barber.
So Leo is probably one of my most underappreciated players of last year. If there was a player who I thought consistently came up on stat lines and showed up, even taking on blockers to let other guys come clean, every time he was on the field, I was seeing productive plays. I was seeing something going on that
it got better in the postseason.
Didn't hit a stat line, but it was so crucial for that play to work. So he always kind of showed flat. MVP Purnell shows up so many times. It's taking up double teams, taking up blocks to let linebackers go, flow to the ball, make plays. From a safety position, Connors and like in camp, I would say that this young man Hicks.
Yeah, Jaden Hicks. Everybody's talking about him.
Like if you just watch the way he moves to the ball, he doesn't move to the ball like somebody who's out here thinking. And that amazes me, because usually in the first year, the NFL level of defense is like three times the amount you're used to in college. And so for a rookie to just come into camp and he doesn't look like he's thinking. He looks like he's just reacting, instinctively making plays. So those are the things that's surprising me, of how fast a guy like that is getting on the field. Obviously getting on the field because Jay Reid is out of hamstring. But
yeah, are you worried about that?
No, I'm not worried about it. Like, we have a plethora of safeties that
– Yeah, safety depth's good. Yeah. Best on the team, maybe.
I mean, I think secondary is, like, whether it's the corners or safety, I think they're at a position where I can think of about, you know, four or five players at both positions. So it's like 10 deep in the secondary collectively between the safeties and corners that I feel like any mixture of those guys can go out and play really high-level football, and that should worry opponents.
Now that you're sitting here, Barbara, I'm remembering a question that is perfect to ask you.
Oh, here we go.
But I want an honest answer.
No. Don't preface. Hey, go tell them how I roll. Don't preface anything like I want to, like I'm a dishonest person, bro. Like, don't come on, man.
Fair.
Okay.
Fair.
I just want your opinion. Okay.
Is Chris Jones playing up the stinger injury because he's just done being at camp?
Next question.
Are there, all right, how about this? This is a vague question.
Okay.
Are there veterans sometimes in the history of the NFL that maybe play up injuries in order to be done with this part of camp?
Man, you got a future as a lawyer. Because I like the way you read.
You never did that, though.
No.
Yeah, you never did that.
I never had enough leverage.
You had to be out there.
I mean, dog, every practice, every training camp to me was like, I look at it like I was the 53rd guy.
Okay.
No matter what position, I don't care if I was a starting wheel. I don't care if I was fifth year vet. Like I went into camp thinking, like, mathematically, there's 50 other guys that are going to make the team before me. And so I'm one of these three. And so I kind of went out there with that mentality every day to prove that, like I don't want to get cut. I don't want this to be my last day. And that's just the way I survived, to be an undersized linebacker in the league for 10 years. Like I had to be kind of built a little differently. He's a top 10.
You don't have to worry about that.
Top 10 in the NFL.
Yeah, he's set.
By his peers, like he's top 10. He just secured the bag. I mean, he proved last year he don't really need training camp to be ready for it. I mean, so, like, it's hard to tell a veteran like that, hey, I need you to come out here and get these reps in, when I just proved to you that these reps are not significant for me.
Yeah.
Now, they might mean something for the teams, you know, as the camaraderie and some of the timing stuff. So, yeah, there are some vets that no matter how good – Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the league, but the timing him and Mahomes have to be on for that to transcend into the regular season, he can't miss these opportunities, these snaps, these opportunities.
What's funny is I don't even care. Like, I do your thing. I'm cool if Andy just gave it to you off. I wouldn't care.
I said, when are they having you talk to the team, Barber? Is that later on? Is that after practice today? You going out there? You rallying the troops a little bit?
I am doing. I'm talking to a team, but it's going to be my golf team. I'm actually play. St. Joe's Country Club. I'm gonna get a round of golf in.
Who's in the foursome?
It's gonna be me, two guys from the Chiefs sponsorship, and one of their top sponsors. We're gonna go out there and.
All right.
I'm trying to secure some long term sweet sales. You know
okay,
what I'm saying?
Like,
I'm trying to do my part as an ambassador, as a you know like a you know brand awareness for the Chiefs. Trying to keep those paychecks flowing into 610.
Yeah, right, we appreciate that.
Keep the partnership
we definitely need those. Now, we were already planning on talking about something even when you weren't here, which so I want to get your perspective. The depth chart came out and whatever, it's preseason depth chart. But there is one thing that stood out, and it's because they haven't had a player at this position since Anthony Sherman. Carson Steele listed at fullback. Is Andy Reid going back to the fullback?
I like it. I hope he does. Anything you can do unique that the rest of the league is going to have to catch up on. I mean, the fullback package is a whole nother phase of offensive plays. So let me put it like this: when you're a defender and I'm being the opponent does not have a fullback. Well, it's a one back set. Everything is one back, one gap. It's very easy for me to determine where my home gap. For us to be gap sound on defense. The second you put a tight end, an H-back, or a fullback in the backfield, that player can intersect any gap and create two A gaps, two B gaps, two C gaps. So now all the linebackers have to be aware because now I got to flow back. Two of us always have to see that fullback in the hole because now it's two extra gaps. It forms another gap. So from an offensive standpoint, you can get a lot more intricate in the running game, and then that fullback kind of leaking out with full flow go away. You're testing the backside of a defense to make sure that they have good pass integrity in the flats. So there's certain things you can do with a fullback or an H-back that can really move, that causes the defense to have to do some different things with their eyes. And some defenses are just, I mean, to be honest, they're poor. They're very poor at adjusting to a fullback when he comes out the backfield and when he engages in the running game. And it creates a whole nother – I mean, defensively, you have to kind of be aware of that. So
Shanahan takes advantage of this all the time.
Juszczyk is special,
oh,
right?
Yeah, sure. You know? The Ravens, the Ravens and the 49ers have been religious. The Rams, mm-hmm. Those three teams I think have been
– So you think Carson Steele makes the team then? I mean, at this point?
If we're up to Barber, he'd say yeah.
You think he's I don't see any of our
tight ends being what I would call a lead back, a H, like we have true tight ends.
There's no more Blake Bell anymore.
Yes. So if you're looking for a position for a position, I think he comes in and takes.
So what, they keep three tight ends then instead of four, and then they keep an extra running back / fullback?
Who can play in a four tight end set if for some reason they wanted to go heavy? Like, I mean, it does kind of make sense. It's just nobody in the league uses a fullback. It's like five teams. Andy was one of the last guys holding on, and he's like, I miss it. I'm bringing it back.
So I think he was one of the last guys holding on, and then everybody got rid of him, and now he's probably one of the first guys to bring it back. I mean, you got to be a step ahead, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's
when everybody's bobbing, you weave, right? You got to be a little different, man.
Barbara, you said you've got something lined up for our producer, Drew. As everyone knows, Drew grew up and is a Bengals fan. He has several bets already standing on the line.
Watch the stream,
for the
Drew.
Week
you need
two
to watch
game.
The video.
Okay. Yeah, watch the stream, Drew, and he'll show you exactly what's on the line.
Barber's
explain
holding
Barber
up what looks actually like a pretty cool Bengals hat, although it looks like it's a Bengal but a goat. And so are you trying to say Joe Burrow's the goat? What are we doing here?
I mean, I ain't trying to say nothing. I know my man Drew has – stood on the tables. I mean, he's professed his love for these Bengals long enough.
But that's his squad. He's not backing
down.
That's
his squad. He's staying with it. He's sticking to it. I just think the hat looks like a dope hat for a Bengals fan.
So you're giving this to Drew?
I ain't giving him nothing.
The only thing
I'm giving Drew is headaches. All right? There are going to be some opportunities, I know, during the season. I mean, week two, we play the Bengals.
That's
so
right.
That's something we can put on the line. I mean, this hat got some swagger to it, so
it does.
It's nice.
It ain't gonna come cheap, bro.
Think about what you're willing to offer in order to
week two Chiefs Bengals. What do you want?
Even the listeners can get involved.
Sure. Like, the question is, what are you gonna do? Because we know you're willing to offer up the hat if Drew is correct, but what that's all you're willing to do, just the hat. Are we clear?
Yeah. I mean,
Drew, what are you willing to do?
I mean, at this point, I'm doing a lot of different stuff. Apparently, if the Bengals lose,
he's got to dye his hair.
I'm bleaching
like
the hair blonde.
Drew, just go all in, bro. Just go all in. I mean, Yeah, well, I mean, just keep ask the listeners, the text line.
Yeah, we'll take suggestions.
Some more suggestions of what.
Because Drew is going, if Cincinnati loses week two, Drew's already going to go with the Eminem and Joe Burrow cut.
So, Drew, what's off limits? Like, are tattoos off limits?
He's got tattoos.
A tattoo is off. I would say a tattoo for this sort of thing is off limits.
What about Barber's number? Would you get Barber's number tattooed, you know?
Oh, yeah.
5'9"?
5'9"?
Okay. Just,
it could mean anything.
Right
know?
On your right ass cheek. 5'9".
No, that's not happening.
Barber didn't want it there.
Like on the shoulder or something, man. I will
get 59.
You can do like the signature tattoo, you know, Barber's autograph on there.
Well, the thing I know about tattoos is like I had my name tattooed when I was in college, and I got it overlaid with a panther.
Yeah.
So like you can always over. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like as long as you don't make it, you know, a whole sleeve or a whole leg, you can always overlay it with something.
How many tattoos you got, Barber?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
7. Okay. I think, Drew, you're right around there, right, Drew?
That was a good count right there.
I've got 6.
6.
So, hey.
Catch up.
Hey.
The final
week two. Week two can catch up.
It's the hat or it's a tattoo. That seems very fair. Barber only has to give you a hat. That's all he has to do.
Barber's always open for negotiation as far as I know.
Maybe he gets this image of the goat tattoo.
Yeah.
But instead of bangles, we find like a way to chief it up.
Yeah.
Just at least a little bit.
And you got to get
put a 15 in there.
Yeah.
I can't believe, honestly, like I don't even know how this is allowed. How is someone allowed to even make a hat that has a goat resembling anybody from Cincinnati? How is that even allowed?
No championships as a citizen.
I bet this hat, I bet I could go sell.
Why do you have this hat?
I could sell 500,000 of these hats in Cincinnati.
Why do you have this hat? Did they send this to you for free?
No. I'm playing in Kevin Lockett's Lock It Up golf tournament on Monday. And so me and Desmond are teammates. And so I got us like matching uniforms, just got us out swagged out and stuff. So I'm always trying to look the part, right? So I'm all about the we got the J's, we got the golf J's, we got like pink and green, like it's the fits are really. I'll show you a picture later on. But this company Waggle.
Yeah.
I saw this hat sitting beside there, and I just started thinking about Drew. Man, I was like, "Damn, you know who would love this hat? My man Drew."
Thanks.
So I was gonna buy it and give it to you, but then I started talking to my man AG, and he was like, "Bro, you can't be giving away nothing this swaggy, bro. You gotta like make him earn that."
That's
Don't
right.
forget week two. Since that game is happening early in the season.
I appreciate you. Hopefully Joe Burrow can be locked and loaded and ready to go.
I
think he will
be.
By the way, shout out to Carson Steele, because Carson's from my neck of the woods out in Indy, actually.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, great. Why did we bring him up?
I said in Indy. This is nothing to do with
Cincy.
This is nothing to do. This is about Carson Steele, who is a Chief. He's from my neck of the woods in Indy.
Neck of the woods.
Yeah. So suburb of Indy, Greenwood. Shout out Center Grove.
That's like Pasquantino being from Richmond, VA, baby, all day.
That's true.
Two up, two down.
That's our guy.
Friend of the show.
Make it be known. Vinny Pasquantino pays his debts.
Yeah, he pays.
We made a
off
bet,
his bets.
And he
Let me tell you who don't pay their debts. Birthday boy.
Dusty? Dustin Likens owes some bourbon, right?
Yeah. Ain't no just some bourbon.
Oh, specific?
What's he owe you?
What
some
kind
blends?
Of buffalo? No, what does he owe you? Blends?
You know it.
Dusty.
From a season ago.
Dang.
When is the 2023 season over with?
I think by week one, that opener, he has to give you the
bottle. September 5th.
Yeah, by the start of the season.
Oh, what's the concept? Double up? You got to something like that, right?
Yeah, that always seems fair.
Got to, you know.
Barber,
you got to throw in a bottle of Eagle Rare or something, you know?
Barber, if the Chiefs beat the Bengals, I will have a tattoo of your number on my wrist within 2 weeks.
Wow. Look at that.
Lock that in, please. Lock it in.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? I didn't even
poke Drew's going to feel like king of the world.
I didn't even poke the bear.
If Cincinnati wins week two.
He jumped off the ledge.
Drew's going to hold his own Super Bowl parade in week two if Cincinnati somehow
and
wins.
And rightfully so.
No.
He's got a lot on the line.
We don't celebrate regular season wins.
Okay.
All right.
I can tell you like that
Buffalo
hat.
The Buffalo Bills.
I can tell you really like that hat by the way you jumped out off that ledge right there.
If the Bengals win, Alex and Gold would have to eat McDonald's for 24 hours. They have to be at
Alex
McDonald's.
And Gold. He just did what people
I'm
did.
Sorry.
Sweet, I'm off.
Alex and Gold have to do it. You hear that?
He's going
to
do it twice.
That's right. Cody and Gold
it
at McDonald's.
Is Cody and Gold broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp. We're hanging out with our guy, Sean Barber. His practice probably has another 20 minutes or so now to go. Coming up next, we'll get to how all three local schools are going to be represented and what one national pundit is saying about the Super Bowl next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.